there. You helped me. When I was down and couldn't get up, and he lifted me up. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I'm like the old colored boy standing on the banks of the Mississippi River. All those big boats is drawn into the shore. He cried to the captain up there in the cabin, steering that old ship in. He said, "There he is, folks. There he is. That's him." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well," he said, "one day I'd fallen into this old Mississippi River and said I was drowning. Going down for the last time," and said, "that man up in that cabin jumped out of that ship into that water and he picked me up. And he said, ever since that day, I would like to point him out." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to point him out. Hallelujah. Tell you about Jesus. Glory to God. Did I get the right building? This is the Holy Roller Church? Okay, amen. Okay. I didn't know if this was the Holy Roller Church or the Wax Museum. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you get quiet on me, I'll ask you, did I get the wrong building? And you always holler, "No, that's the right building, Brother David." Amen. We're Holy Roller. Glory to God. I want to encourage you a little bit tonight. Amen. Just to wait on the Lord. Amen. I want to preach from the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. Amen. Hallelujah. And trust the Lord will help us. Amen. Is this a pastor from Kansas City, did you say? Brother, what's his name? Swearinger. I think I'll just drop that right there, Brother Swearinger. I brought me some tomatoes tonight. Who did that? Thank you. And I also got some salsa. Yeah. We had some. Passed in. Mama fried me a piece of meat for dinner. Goodbye, salsa. Amen. Oh, I got a little bit. Glory to God. No service tomorrow night, right? Sunday morning. We want to see you Sunday morning. Oh, glory to God. Get a chance. How many will pray an hour with me tomorrow? Amen. Get along somewhere. We're really getting serious about having revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Get serious about getting hungry for revival. Amen. You don't care what happens. Amen. One fellow said, "I'd like to see a revival." I said, "I just don't want to see no wildfire." I said, "Forget it." Amen. Forget it. Amen. You're not going to let somebody scream, holler, jump, roll on the floor. Forget about God sending you a revival. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a friend. She's about 30 years old, never been married. And she said, "Reed, give me a man. You're traveling around out there. Said, find me a man." I said, "What kind of man do you want?" She said, "Oh, I want a good looking one, rich." I said, "Forget it." You didn't want a man bad enough, you just reach out and grab you one, you get one. Amen. What Mama had to do. Amen. Just got desperate. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? You you get desperate, the Lord will hear you. Hallelujah. I am hungry, aren't you, for the Lord? Your pastor told me this afternoon, I hope I'm not talking out of school, but he said, Brother Reed, we're desperate. God knows we're desperate. We've got to have it, Mom. God has got to help us. And that's just the way I'm in revival meeting. I might go one place where I didn't have revival and survive, but I couldn't go back to back places. Amen. When you put everything you've got into it, it's all laid out there. And it doesn't go, and God doesn't accept it or bless it. I'm telling you, there's something about you that dies. You die.
Amen.
And then you get to where you know what John Knox meant when he said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Amen. And then when that happens to you, then you have to get that way before it will happen. But if you live that way, amen, and God knows that I'm going to die if I don't have revival, amen, and see somebody waiting, you know, and you disappoint me a little bit this evening when you come in and didn't come on to the altar. Remember, of course, I've been around, like I say, 44 years ago. But back then, about not all the churches, but about half of the churches you went to would always open their service with what they call a season of prayer. Remember that? And we'd come up, we'd pray. We'd come up around the altar. If you didn't come up to the altar, we kind of looked askance at you, you know. Wonder what's wrong? Wonder what he got in his life. He won't come to the altar. Amen. Right? But don't wait to be invited. Come on and get to praying. Amen. I'll tell you the two things it's going to take. You get to praying and repenting. Oh, you get to calling on God and repenting. Amen. And the Lord will help us. Glory to God. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass. Aren't you glad it didn't come to stay? Amen. Hallelujah. As he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Amen. Notice he didn't say, teach us how to pray. Well, that's what we figured that he meant. They meant. But that's not what they said. They said, Lord, teach us to pray, not how to pray. Amen. Because you'll never know how to pray. It's like preaching. If you ever learn how to preach, God have mercy on the preacher that ever learns how to preach. Amen. God have mercy on the Christian that ever learns how to pray. Amen. So we quote the scripture, you know, for when we know not how to pray, you know, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Didn't say for when we know. It says a flat statement, for we know not how to pray. For we know not how to pray as we ought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I believe with all my heart, all of God's dealing with you tonight and me for the last 44 years has been trying to teach you. Hallelujah. All of God's people in your life and in mine since we started walking with the Lord has been teaching to pray. It's a hard lesson to learn. Amen. Teach us to pray. Amen. I was out in West Texas, Clayton, 1954, when Rusty, my oldest boy, was about 15 months old. Old Clarence Glaze. You ever meet Brother Glaze? It's that long time. It's probably 4 years' time. You're not as old as me. Zion. And so I was sitting in the living room Sunday afternoon, and he was going to go visit some saints that afternoon, and he walked out, got in his car, and all at once we heard his wife scream. Boy, and I mean, it was a blood-curdling scream like, you know, you go see about it. And we went out there, and he was pulling my little baby boy out from under his old car, an old 51 Ford car. And he had two kids about his size, and old Rusty had followed him out there, and they started to back out, and I heard this little bump on the bumper. And Mary said to Clarence, that is that preacher's baby. And boy, he stopped at old Ford, and the wheels hadn't run over him. He just back up around the transmission, you know. And he reached under there and pulled him out. And he had a little bit of grease on his elbows all along. Amen. We run out there about the same time his mom and I did. Amen. Anybody with an ounce of brains and one eye knows that when a baby's hurt, you give him to your mom, right? You give him to the mom. The baby's crying, you give him to mom. Well, that ignorant Pentecostal preacher, he comes as straight from me as he could and made that baby boy over into my arms. When he did, the Holy Ghost said, you ain't been praying like you ought to. I said, you got that right, Lord. Amen. There ain't no time to argue about that. Amen. I got the message real quick. Hallelujah. See you in the prayer room. Amen. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just let me go ahead and read all this, then I'll try to get the path down through there and get through in time so we can pray. Hallelujah. As in heaven, so on earth. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. So guess we're supposed to pray every day. Right? I just figured that one out all by myself. Hey. Hallelujah. Well, you'd be surprised if the folks try to get by without praying every day. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, and all this has to do with prayer. Which of you will have a friend going to him at midnight and saying to him, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children in bed with me, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if she'll ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you being evil, I'm sorry, saints, that's what Jesus said. You then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And Matthew, he said, good things. Will the heavenly Father give good things? It's the good things of Matthew is the Holy Ghost of the book of Luke. Amen. And really, most all your praying ought to be for the Holy Ghost. I still pray for the Holy Ghost. God, give me the Holy Ghost. Lord, anoint me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. Holy Ghost and the lost, see. And this is about four or five sermons in one, but just let me throw this out to you, and Lord, help us to pick us a path down through there. Amen. Then in the 18th chapter of Luke, where he speaks about the unjust judge, amen, and the widow comes in there to get her inheritance, amen. And so the church was a widow for 3 days. Amen. At least, wasn't she? Yeah, right. Okay. And so that analogy holds up all right. Amen. And if it doesn't, well, ask Dr. Gines at the Southwestern Bible School. He's such straight on that. This is where I got this idea. Amen. And so this widow went in there to be avenged of her adversary, to get what she was coming out of the inheritance. Amen. He said, I don't know if she's wife one or none, one number one or number three, or what it was, or if some of the kids was in there wanting part of the inheritance or whatever it was. Amen. But she, you know, come in there to get her inheritance. Amen. That's what she was wanting, to be avenged of her adversary. Amen. Now this judge, he didn't fear God nor man. That was his boast. But I tell you, he got to where he feared this little widow woman. I'll tell you that. Amen. I don't know what she'd do. She'd stand out in front of his chariot in the middle of the street, you know, at noonday. Amen. Or get out under his window at night and holler at him. Amen. Or burst into his court when it was in session. I don't know what she'd do. But here's what I think she did. I think one day she burst in there with a butcher knife in her hand and a wild, fierce look in her eye. Amen. And when she come out of there, she was avenged of her adversary. Amen. Amen. She got what she went after. Amen. And so the Lord's inheritance, he said, the day that he begot the Lord Jesus over in the second Psalm, he said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, he said, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. Amen. So the inheritance of the son comes right on down to the widow, the church. Amen. The heathen of our inheritance. Amen. Amen. Now you're going to say, who would want the heathen for an inheritance? That's our problem. See, we can't see that. See, who? See, and that's the only excuse we have of being here. Amen. Is that we could reach out. Amen. And get sold. That's the only two things we need to pray for is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray for the good thing, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And souls. Amen. And you don't have to teach Holy Ghost-filled people to love the lost. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a package deal. It comes with it. Hallelujah. There'll be a go-you in you. Hallelujah. You want to go tell somebody. You want to pray somebody through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, he said, when you pray, you say, Our Father. Well, up in Four Acre, Oklahoma, it's over here, not very far from here, over in Osage County. And there was 300 of us heathen living over there in Four Acre, and a few Methodists. in the early days of World War II, there was an old Pentecostal lady come over from Shiner, 6 miles west and 6 miles south, and she'd come over and do a little personal work, and she run on to Miss Combs. Miss Combs finally wound up in some of my meetings over in Blackwell, Oklahoma, and around in the Assembly of God Church. And she was telling me this, that this personal worker would come over there and tell her, said, you know, and pray with her and teach her things. But the war was on, and gas rationing and tires and all that. And so she told Miss Combs, said, now I'm not going to be able to come back no more, sweetheart. Amen. But let me ask you this. Said, did you have a good relationship with your earthly father? Oh, Miss Combs said, yeah, I mean, my dad was close. I could talk to my dad about anything. Well, she said, sweetheart, that's the same way it is with your heavenly father. You've got a heavenly father that loves you more and cares more about you. And if you get in trouble, just remember that you have a father in heaven. Now, I won't be back here with you to pray with you, you know, and they help you and instruct you and they encourage you. Amen. And so with no more knowledge of God than he with her father, Miss Combs prayed 5 sons back from World War II. Yeah, amen. With no one to meet with her in a Wednesday night prayer meeting or a Sunday morning, Sunday night, pray with her. Amen. Just out there by herself on the high plains. Amen. Down in Osage County. Amen. Right, she had, but worse than that, she had an old beer drinking Jim for a husband. He's a good, hard-working guy, amen, but just worshiped the taste of beer. I mean, he loved to drink beer. And so, you know, one night, old Eugene, he was down in San Antonio, Texas, Brooks Hospital, and he had pneumonia, both lungs. Boy, he double pneumonia, and he just wasn't expected to live. In fact, she was getting telephone reports from the chaplain every day on the telephone. That was the way news traveled back then, you know. Amen. And so she fixed supper one night for old Jim and set it there on the table, and the rest of the kids come in. Boy, her heart was heavy for old Eugene. And so she went in there and sat down in that big easy in that rocking chair in the living room. amen, and had a little talk with the Lord. And here she come back, amen, her countenance had changed, and her heart and burden had been lifted, you know, and her old bleary-eyed, very sociable husband sitting there and said, well, what in the blankety blank has happened to you, anyhow? And she said, well, God just told me Eugene was going to be all right. Hallelujah. And Eugene was all right. I guess he's still all right. Lord, I know he's still living. Amen. Miss Combs has gone on. Hallelujah. But Eugene was all right. Hallelujah. Her father told her that. Glory to God. Amen. We make it, you know, too complicated. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we just shell the corn. Hey, Father, it is like this. Amen. I need some help. Glory to God. Thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. He said, thy will be done. You know, Mohammedans have 99 names for their God, but our Father's not one of them. Amen. That's only in this Christian religion are we taught that God is our Father. We're the offsprings of God, made in the image of God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Teach us to pray. Glory to God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. You know, that's how I got saved. Amen. I learned that prayer in public school. I'd have been out of luck nowadays. Amen. When I got saved, old Sister Edson brought me down and said, let some of the men pray with you. I said, well, I don't know how to pray, Sister Edson. She said, well, I've been saved 20 years, and I don't know how to pray either. Amen. So I just got to sit, come down and let Brother Hartz pray with you. So I'm kneeling right here. Old Brother Hartz got down on his knee, and like I said, had his arm around me. And all I know to pray was, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Just crying like a baby, broken up. Oh, broken up before the Lord. Oh, God, for thine is the glory and the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Got through, didn't know nothing else to pray. I prayed it again. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you this much, it worked. Hallelujah. God, I got to touch that night. God touched me. Still good 44 years later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just call on the Lord. He that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Oh, God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. Hallelujah. Now, he said to pray without ceasing. Now, Jesus ceased here. The Bible said when he ceased, you know, they asked him. And so when Paul said pray without ceasing, it really didn't mean that we were to be on our knees all the time, but we can be in an attitude of prayer at all times. Amen. Amen. And I really do believe that we wouldn't have to pray all the time if we would just let, the Lord speak to us and we would have an ear that was attentive to the Spirit. Amen. You know, where he could say, quick, I need an intercessor, and you would just drop what you were doing. Amen. And the Lord could get a hold of you. Amen. See, there's an allegory over in the Song of Solomon where this lover wanted to come in, you know, to the bedroom, which is really, it's the most private part of our lives, the bedroom. And she'd already dressed for bed, you know, and whatever it takes for you girls to get ready for bed. This girl has done it. Amen. Her hands, you know, perfumed and everything. And so he tried to lock, to force the lock, you know. And he said, I've been out in the night, and so my locks are wet with dew. And said, I wanted to come in. And she said, well, I just got ready for bed. Should I get up again? And so she lays there a little bit, and she thinks, might not be too bad to have old Curly in here in my arms tonight. And so she pulls back the cover and said, I think I'll let him in. So she goes over there, and the Bible said, yeah, her hands dripped with sweet-smelling myrrh as she opened the door and pulled the bar back. Amen. Living Letter said when she did, her heart stopped. You know why? He was gone. He was gone. Amen. And that woman didn't get to go in there. Amen. You'll find in the next chapter, it was a woman with children that went in with the bridegroom. Amen. She missed it in a moment of hesitation. Amen. The opportunity was gone forever. As Rudyard Kipling said, the unforgiving minute. You can feel the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance from. Hallelujah. That minute's gone. You'll never get it back. It's an unforgiving minute. That opportunity gone. It's an unforgiving opportunity. Amen. But I'll show you how it works. You're standing at the sink. You're doing dishes. Amen. The Lord said, quick, I need an intercessor. My missionary's in trouble. I need an intercessor. Well, Lord, just as soon as I get the dishes done. Before you get the dishes done, the telephone rings. Before you get off the telephone, the neighbor across the street's over for some coffee. And before she leaves, the kids are home for lunch. Amen. And there goes your plans of praying. Amen. And God's program suffers. Amen. Because he can't find somebody who will listen to the Spirit. Amen. And obey the voice of the Spirit. Amen. Now, how many times have you heard, when I remember 40 years ago when I first got saved, this appeared in the Pentecostal Evangel. And I don't know which missionary it was, but their plane conked out over the dense African jungle. Amen. And for 30 minutes, amen, that thing just glided along there. They found an opening and landed that thing. Might have been old Harold Landis. I don't know. Sounds about like him. Amen. But he said he got a note from somebody back home, said, where were you at such and such a time? Amen. And it corresponded, you know, with, that was 40 years ago. Amen. That's when people were praying, God working halfway around the world. Glory to God. I remember his brother Jimmy Swaggart telling on his telecast one night. The woman said, where were you August the 13th, you know, such and such a time? And he said, I'll tell you where I was. I was on a flooded river in South Dakota in a trailer house floating down that flooded river trying to get out of there with my life. And God laid a burden on this woman's heart. Amen. The last I heard of it was old Newberry, one of my missionaries of South Africa, stood in and we come out in my own minister's meeting in Holiday Inn in Duncan, Oklahoma. His wife had a terrible accident in South Africa. She had run a little old foreign car up under a load of drill pipe, and it just demolished, absolutely totaled that car. And that pipe just sheared the top of that little old foreign car off. Amen. And the impact, it just totaled that car. She got out without a scratch. Amen. And he's standing there telling me. It just happened a couple months before. Amen. I mean, it was red hot off of the grill of glory. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. Isn't that first I told you about was 40 years ago. This was just a couple of years ago. Amen. She said, right before impact, said that just an unseen hand just forced me down into the floorboard of that car. Amen. And the top was just sheared off. Amen. If she'd have stayed up there, you know, she'd have been killed instantly. Amen. But an unseen, you ever have an unseen hand touch you? Then I have. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm telling you. Amen. Sometimes kind of hard to discern what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. But I had it touch me. Amen. And about 2 weeks later, they got a letter from back home. This lady said, where were you at such and such a time? Oh, I was on my knees praying for you. And they corresponded with the very exact time she was in that car. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I think I got the right idea on this because when I think that I can make a missionary's airplane fly, makes me want to pray. Amen. See? Yeah, when I think that by praying I could bring a little home back together, I want to pray. Hallelujah. When I think that I can get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray down a revival, I want to pray. It makes me want to pray. I want to pray. I want to pray. Glory to God. If I just talk to God about it, I can change it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. You can change things. Amen. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be articulate, fat, skinny, ugly, short. All you have to be is concerned. Amen. Praying. Amen. You know, remember, when we first got the Holy Ghost, we couldn't keep our hands off each other. I mean, we thought if we'd get there and pray, something would happen. Things would change. Amen. Hallelujah. We'd turn in a prayer request. Pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't get very desperate anymore. Do you know Paul is the only one that ever requested prayer for himself? The only writer in the New Testament ever requested prayer for himself. It's Paul. He requested about 7 or 8 times. That's why I think he wrote the book of Hebrews, because he said, pray for me. Amen. He's the only writer in the New Testament. He had such a hard time, amen, with that old thorn in the flesh and that old devil that would buffet him on every side. Amen. Hallelujah. And every place he'd go, he said, I ain't going to make it if y'all don't pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't think he could make it unless somebody was praying for him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Having terrible times and rough times. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget us and the van let's be driving an old Chrysler that had 200,000 miles on it. Old John Hall said it looked like been through the Great Tribulation already. And I was complaining to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm at sales, you know. Upgrade my equipment for me. Oh, God. You know, help me. Amen. Help me, upgrade me, you know. Amen. I was wearing Kmart clothes. Amen. I'll never forget when I first got an ice blue cup in Heimer. I paid $110 for it. I thought, man, I walked into General Counsel down there in Dallas, Texas. Amen. About 10,000 people there. I walked in there, that ice blue cup in Heimer. All I felt like I was just as good as anybody there. Took me about 3 months to get over that, where the Lord could bless me. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 But I was complaining to the Lord. Amen. And it all at once he showed me. Amen. When people ask, how's old Brother Reed doing? Oh, not very good. You know, he's got his family out there and they got an old car. They own a rim, just better get from one meeting to the next. You know, and people say, oh, this all might say, oh, God bless Brother Reed. God bless his family. God bless that advantage. Amen. But you know, you drive in a Cadillac, you know, two-tone, and the sea turtle shoes, you know, and the $500 Hickey Freeman suit, you know, amen. And you're in a Cadillac, and both hands on the wheel, and your shoulders red back, you know, and back in the sack, trunk with some money in the sack, amen. And they say, how's old Brother Reed doing? And they say, oh, man, he has made the big time. You think anybody stops to pray? No. Well, he don't need me to pray for him. See, this is what happened to Job. He got too prosperous. Amen. Who would have thought to pray for Job? Right? Who would have thought to pray for the richest man in the East? Who would have thought to pray for Job? Amen. I went to see old Jimmy Snow after his home had broke up. He was pastoring a big church out on the freeway in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. And I told him, I said, Jimmy, you know what? I said, when you was in that Grand Ole Opry mess and trying to break out of that Grand Ole Opry mess, God had a call on your life to preach. Amen. There's hundreds of saints up and down this Tennessee Valley praying for you. Amen. You'd get loose from that kind of stuff. Amen. And get on the road for God. Amen. But after you got the big church out on the freeway, Johnny Cash was coming to your church, Larry Gatlin and the whole bunch was singing for you. You was driving the Fleetwood Cadillac. Who thought to pray for Jimmy Snow? Amen. So it dawned upon me. Amen. This is the thing that's keeping me going. Was the saints praying for him. And this is, Paul knew that's what kept him going through, see. He said, it's going to be, if you'll pray for me, he said, there'll be a supply of the Spirit. You got to pray for me. You got to pray for me. And the reason was, he was having a tougher time than the rest of the fellows it seemed like. Really, it did. Amen. Hallelujah. So it seemed like you're having a rough time. Amen. That's not all bad. Let him get that back. He needs prayer. Pray for Brother Reed. Amen. Pray for Sister Gibson. Amen. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray for one another. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I was out in a revival, amen, on the East Coast back in 1975. We had a 7-week meeting out there, and it was good, and we had round-the-clock prayer meetings going. We're going to have to get back to that, I think, before we really see the revival we want to see. Now, y'all been fasting and praying this morning. That's good. That's good. And we're going to pray a little bit more tonight, just kind of boost it on a little bit. Amen. Just kind of add a little fuel that fire. Amen. It'll get to rolling. It'll go. Amen. Just keep waiting. Just keep plugging. Oh, yeah. Just keep at it. Amen. Just don't let up. Amen. Just every time the Lord turns around, you'll be right there. Amen. Right on his feet. He'll step on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we had a telephone executive in the church, and he testified one night that the telephone company had a preempt line. You know, they could just go down the line and knock all the other voices off of the line. Amen. And so they always do. You ever been on the phone when the operator break in and say, this is an emergency? Yeah, I have. It just happened a couple of times in 50 years I've been using the telephone. Amen. But it does happen. They say, this is an emergency. Well, they call that the preempt line, where they just go in there and knock all the other voices off and get to that number that they want. Amen. And he testified that the Lord ought to put a preempt line in our soul. Well, I had a little apartment up in the church, and my hour was from 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. So I get up, set the alarm, get up, go down to the sanctuary and pray. And I remember I was over here by the sanctuary reaching just as high as I could reach. And I said, oh, God, put that preempt line in my soul. God, please, Lord, when you're needing an intercessor, when you're needing somebody to pray, when you're needing some help, oh, God, Lord, call me, Lord. Don't let my tired body discourage you. Don't let my hesitation, don't let my slow response, Lord, slow you down. Lord, just please use me. Just please put that preempt line in my soul. Just please feel free to call on me. Wouldn't you like the Lord to feel free to call on you? I wonder if he does feel free. Amen. Amen. He knows whose boat he can use. Amen. You know, Peter had a boat then. Andrew had one too. He got Peter's boat because he knows whose boat he can use. Woo! Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We come back from North Carolina. The boys were in revival down at the Lighthouse Assembly in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And we was having round-the-clock prayer meetings there. We hadn't seen them in several months. And it was so good to see them. Amen. And they was praying. And they prayed from Rusty's praying 11 to 12. Randy's praying 12 to 1. Dennis praying 1 to 2. So I took 2 to 3. Amen. And it was so good to be with them again that I went in there and prayed with Rusty from 11 to 12. Amen. His hour. Now, I made a mistake. Now I have to pray 12 to 1 and 1 to 2. Well, I show partiality. So I prayed 12, 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2. Amen. Because I had 2 to 3 by myself. Amen. Amen. On the bed. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you the truth, saints. Amen. We've been golfing. Amen. We've been to the circus. We've been to the ball game. We've been fishing. We've been snowmobiling. Amen. And the greatest times I ever had with my kids was around the altars of God. And God knows my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory to God. So we were went on, and they we had a Saturday night service, had a singing Saturday night, and they had to go on to Fort Smith the next morning and unload their instruments and have a service down in Fort Smith. Amen. So they got loaded up about 11 o'clock that night and hit the road with an old Chevrolet car, a little instrument trailer. Amen. And so as they drove off the parking lot, it was 11 o'clock Saturday night. And I thought, well, they can't keep their prayer vigil tonight, so I'll just keep it for them. So I went into the sanctuary and prayed 11 to 12, midnight, prayed 12 to 1, grade 1 to 2, about 2:30, I was walking in that old Lighthouse Assembly of God Church in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and all at once I heard the phone ringing. And they had a phone back on the back wall in that sanctuary, and it didn't ring, but it had a light that did like flickered, you know, and you could tell when the phone was ringing because the light would be flickering. It wouldn't actually ring. And so I looked over at the phone to see if it was ringing, and it wasn't ringing. But I heard a phone ring, and it wasn't ringing. And I said, "Lord, what is it?" And I was walking. And he said, "Reed, this is the preempt line." And it's happened, yeah, and it's happened dozens of times since then. And I got to preach one Sunday night in Dardanelle, Arkansas. And I said, "Somebody answer the phone." I said, "It ain't ringing, Brother Reed." I said, "That just means one thing. We got to pray." Amen. We just stood and prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. And the CA, the Royal Ranger man, was down by Fort Little Rock. Amen. Down there teaching some junior boys, Royal Rangers. Amen. And he was in a cyclone. A storm had passed through there. Amen. And he was delivered. Amen. When the church prayed. Amen. Right. Right. It's how Sister Gibson gets where she hears it now. Amen. You've been around as long as we think alike. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. But this is the first time it ever happened to me. And he said, "This is the preempt line." Amen. I said, "What is it?" He said, "There is great danger." And boy, when he said that, the goosebumps just come out all over me, and short hair on the back of my neck, just like a Halloween cat, you know, just on Halloween night, just like that. Amen. And so I just kept walking and talking. Amen. And I got about right over here. And all at once it dawned on me that I'd been praying for about 3 hours at that time. And then a spirit of helplessness just swept over me. Amen. And I said, "Lord, what can I do that I'm not doing?" Some folks don't believe in this, but the Lord said, "Plead the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood." Woo! And I began to plead the blood. Oh, and I do that now when I hear the telephone ring and it ain't ringing. I begin to plead the blood. I know what to do now. Oh, God, I just plead the blood over all your great enterprise. Your missionary program, Lord, over the great work of God, everything that pertains to us, oh God, I plead the protection of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I plead the blood from there. God, oh, we're about the end of the altar. Then it dawned on me who I was praying for. The Lord showed me I was praying for those boys out there on the road. Now, sometimes you don't know what it is, sometimes you do. Glory to God. So they got over the next morning. I called Rusty on the phone. I said, "What happened last night?" He said, "Oh, nothing." I said, "Yeah, something happened last night. Now tell me what happened last night." Well, he said, "Dennis did go to sleep." Yeah. Randy was laying in the back seat asleep. Rusty's laying in the front seat asleep. Dennis was driving. And on about 3:30, Rusty said, "Something said to me, wake up. Dennis is about to go to sleep." Amen. I told Rusty it'll be a great day when we get to heaven and find out what all those somethings were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, I sat up, and I hadn't been sitting up 2 minutes till old Dennis went to sleep, hand pulled that old wheel, the old car started towards the ditch, you know. Rusty just leaped over and got a hold of the wheel, woke Dennis up, drove on in. Hallelujah. Amen. Spared and delivered, see. Oh, I believe it can happen, see. It'll happen for you. Here's one of the sweet things about that, though. I prayed this prayer of deliverance long about 2 o'clock, a little bit after 2, until the Lord didn't need him for another hour. So they let him sleep until about 3:30, just a couple of minutes before he needed him. And I guess he pinched him on the leg or something. I don't know how he did it. But he woke him up, knowing that he had to lay there and needed all the rest his body could get. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of that. Glory, glory. glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. Folks, God answers prayer. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It makes me want to pray. Makes me want to pray. Makes me want to pray. Oh, let me tell you about the Brummets. Amen. I'll quit here in a minute. The Brummets were the great Assemblies of God family. Herschel was a pastor of great churches, took responsible places, was president of Southwestern for a while. You remember Herschel Brummett? President of Southwestern. You all go to CBC down here, don't you? In Oklahoma, Texas, they go to Southwestern. Well, he was president of Southwestern College there. His brother pastored University Assembly. Amen. They called it Brummettsville. Folks at Hatchie, they called it Brummettsville for a while. So when old Newberry told me about this deliverance his wife got in South Africa, amen. Well, that was the same meeting when old Clyde, Herschel's brother, was pastoring First Assembly in Duncan, Oklahoma, and his women had the concession out there for the preacher's retreat. And so when we went through that morning, old Clyde, the center, served me and Herschel breakfast. I went through the line with Herschel. And so I knew that old Vernon, he had built a debt-free church up by Tulsa, up at Sepulchre. Amen. And so all these boys had taken, there's four of them, and they'd all taken responsible places in the work of God. And so as we sat down to breakfast, I said, Herschel, your old dad must have been something for y'all to been preaching. No, he said, Reed, said, I'll tell you a funny thing about my dad. He said he didn't get saved about 2 years before he died. But said when Mama got saved, said, and got the Holy Ghost, said Dad thought she had flipped her cookie. I mean, he was honest about it, but he thought Mama had gone over the deep end. And said, so when Mama got us kids ready to go to church, she had to fight my dad. And he said, Reed, it was a fight when we left. And said it was a fight when we got back home. Hallelujah. But he said, Reed, Mama prayed. Herschel told me that at the breakfast table that morning. About that time, somebody tapped him on the shoulder, and that's all the story that I got from him. Amen. A couple weeks later, I was up in Oklahoma City at a meeting, and old Clyde was up there. So, as Paul Harvey said, I got the rest of the story from old Clyde. I said, Clyde, the old Herschel told me all that, of praying Mama. He said, boy, we did, Reed. We did. Said we lived out on the farm and said we would always get up early, you know, and go to the barn, harness the horses and milk the cows and feed the chickens and turn them out, you know, and do the chores. Amen. And get ready to go to the field. And he said, Mama would get up when we get up, since she'd always get breakfast ready, you know, before we get the chores done. She'd set it up in the warming oven. And said, we had a smokehouse out there between the barn and our house. And said, many, many a morning. Said, almost regularly. But said, many a morning when I'd come in from the barn, I'd hear my mama out there in that old smokehouse praying, speaking the face of God. Amen. Now, she was outnumbered, and she knew it. See, the dad being the strong influence in that home would have those boys in the field hours every day, be able to influence them, you know, and have them with him hours where she would only have a moment and fleeting moments at that. Amen. So her only recourse, being outnumbered and being defeated and being shot down and being helpless the way she was, her only recourse of action was to appeal to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And so appeal to the God of heaven. You know, that's our only recourse of action. That's the only thing we got going for us, saints. that he has bid us to come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's going to be our secret. That's going to be our victory. That's the way revival's going to come. Hallelujah. If we'll get in at that altar and begin to appeal to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And she began to appeal. She began to appeal almost on a daily basis. And she loved this Pentecostal way so much that she was praying, Lord, give me one son that will preach this Pentecostal message for you. Oh, God, Lord, call one of my boys. Preach. God, I love the ministry. I love this Pentecostal way. Oh, God, please, Lord, give me one son. Lord, that'll preach for you. But Mother Brummett just made one mistake that day. Amen. She forgot to specify which boy it was. She wanted God to call. Hallelujah. So just to be sure he got the right one. He called all four of them to preach. And not only that, but he saved her unsaved husband 2 years before he went to heaven. Glory to God. And you know when it happened, saints? It happened when Mama prayed. When Mama prayed. When Mama prayed. When Mama prayed. That's when it happened. And it'll happen when you pray. If you'll pray. Hallelujah. Oh, let's stand and call on his name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.